rebound of that big body in front of you. Crowder looking, throws it alley. Oh! Aiden puts it down! He puts it down! It's over!
Incredible ending to the Suns-Clippers game last night. Looked like the Clippers were going to steal a victory, and at the end, it was the Suns actually stealing the victory from the LA Clippers. Clippers are where they always seem to be, and that is down 0-2 in the best of seven series. They've come back from 0-2 deficits in the first two series against the Mavericks and the Jazz. Now they'll try to do it against the Suns, who may get Chris Paul back for game three coming up tomorrow night in LA. What a wacky and wild game. A wild and wacky night in sports. I mean, if you watch that game, you're like, wow, you're shaking your head. Then I saw highlights of, or low lights of, Major League Baseball pitchers basically taking their clothes off in the middle of the field in front of millions of fans watching on TV. We'll get to that as well. But let's start with the NBA and the terrific game that there was so much drama to that game last night and yet not much action. That's what was crazy about it. There were five reviews. The last 9 seconds took a total of 19 minutes. The last 90 seconds of the game took 33 minutes. My wife always says the last 2 minutes takes half an hour. She was actually right last night. There were four lead changes in the final 31 seconds. You heard DeAndre Ayton with the game-winning dunk on the alley-oop with 0.9 on the clock as the Suns won 104 to 103. So let's go through this a little bit. And by the way, people that tell me that the NBA isn't as good as it once was, listen, if you can't buy into the drama last night and watch that game and you don't appreciate how good both those teams are and you can't understand how fun the Suns are to watch, then I can't help you and you're just a hater, because I don't know what else I can tell you. Now, you may hate on the replays and slowing the game down. That's not the player's fault with what happens. Those are the rules that have been acted over the years with replay in all sports. It's not just basketball is dealing with this. Baseball's got a problem with replay. Football's had problems with replay. So we'll get the replay here in a moment. But first of all, so I don't forget, Cameron Payne last night was sensational. He's the backup point guard who was playing in Greece last year, or in the offseason. He's 29 points, 9 assists, no turnovers. And here's why the Suns are so fun to watch. Last night, in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals, a journeyman backup point guard who used to play for the Oklahoma City Thunder had 29 points, 9 assists because Chris Paul was out due to COVID-19 protocols. Cam Johnson, 11 points, 5 for 5 from the floor. DeAndre Ayton, who's becoming a superstar before our eyes, 24 points, 14 rebounds, 12 of 15 from the floor, had the game-winning dunk and some highlight slams as well. Last night, Devin Booker had an off night, which I kind of figured might happen after an unbelievable game one. Chris Paul wasn't even in the building, and yet they have all these other guys. Jay Crowder made a sensational pass on the alley-oop. He does great job defensively. He hits timely threes. Mikal Bridges hit a big-time three to go up 6. The Suns are so fun to watch, and one of the reasons they're so fun to watch is they move the ball. Everybody's willing to shoot, and they can hurt you in so many ways. They've got Ayton, who's big inside, who can score a high percentage. He's electric. He can fly through the air. I mean, last night, just unbelievable some of the plays he made. He's very good defensively. And then Booker didn't have a good night last night, and yet he got to the line enough and kept them going in the fourth quarter. Had maybe a broken nose, took a headbutt inadvertent from Patrick Beverley. I mean, there was every reason to look at this game and say the Clippers should have won, despite the fact that the Clippers really were behind most of the game and the Suns looked like they were going to win. And so it's a missed opportunity for the Clippers, more ways than one. We'll explain that in a bit. But also, for the Suns, it just goes to show you, okay, no Chris Paul game one, no problem. No Devin Booker struggling, no Chris Paul, no problem in game two. This is a team that's fun to watch. This is a team that has players that know their role. They bought in. They have a really good coach who, if you don't know the background of Coach Williams, he lost his wife in a car accident just a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Horrible tragedy. He's had multiple tragedies in his life. And he flamed out as a head coach his first time through. In fact, he was with Chris Paul at one point and it didn't work out. And now they work well together because they both have matured as both players and coaches. It is really, really impressive to watch the Suns play. And to the Clippers' credit last night, no Kawhi Leonard, Marcus Morris wasn't 100%. Paul George had a bit of an off night until the end, where he made some great plays. And the Clippers kept staying in the game when the crowd was going nuts to where you couldn't even hear the whistle being blown by the official. So you got to give the Clippers a lot of credit for hanging in there. You got to give, and they were shorthanded, you got to give the Suns credit for making plays with guys that, you know, I mean, that was a career high for Cameron Payne. Not in the playoffs, a career high in his career, regular season or playoffs. But let's get down, before we talk some local sports, let's get down to the play at the end of the ballgame. But we have to set up the play first. So if you didn't watch the game, you missed out. It was a great game. But you didn't get a lot of action the final 30 minutes, but you got a lot of drama. Four lead changes, final 31 seconds. The last 9 seconds took 19 minutes to play because of all the reviews. The last 90 seconds took 33 minutes to play. Today, Clipper fans are going to say PG3 lost them the game because he missed two free throws. Or they're going to say that Ty Lue had a horrible coaching. He did a horrible job, and they should have known the lob was coming, and that was bad defense by the Clippers. I'm going to tell you both of those things are wrong. You agree with me?
I agree with you.
Both of those things are wrong. Here's why. I really like Paul George, and I had a feeling he was going to miss at least one of the two. And when he missed the first, I thought he was going to miss the second. I didn't think he was going to come through at the line. Despite an 84% foul shooter, he missed three earlier in the game. 141 times this year he's had two free throws, and only one time had he missed both. Mm-hmm. Only one time until last night. So that comes at a really bad time. But here's the thing. Paul George didn't lose you the game because he missed two free throws. Because you've been nowhere close to winning the game without Paul George. He scored 8 straight points. He had a huge three. He had a layup. And he had a turnaround fadeaway 15-footer to give you the lead. And you shouldn't really honestly had the ball down one with when George got fouled anyway, because Booker had the ball knocked out of his hands by Patrick Beverley, but because of a flaw with instant replay, it technically went off of Booker's hand. Well, yeah, it happens every time a guy knocks a ball away from behind or whatever. It usually goes to the fingertips of a guy. We don't review that play all game long. And then the final 2 minutes, it's like, oh, here we go. That wasn't the intent of replay. That wasn't the intent. Now, technically, by the letter of the law, that is the right call by the officials. But really, the Clippers should have never had the ball. It should have been the Suns ball with a chance to win. Instead, they get the ball because of that call. George misses two free throws. Okay, so now they play great defense, for the most part. They get the ball out of Devin Booker's hands, and the Suns are scrambling, and Mikal Bridges has a wide-open three from the corner, and he misses it. The ball goes out of bounds, apparently off of Terrence Mann, and the Suns get the ball with 0.9 on the clock. Let me stop for a second. Was it just me, or was it that was the fifth review in the last 2 minutes, all right, to see who the ball went off of? Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton or Terrence Mann on the three-pointer by Bridges? We saw like 1,000 replays on every other review. We could not get any other. We got one above the head angle.
Yeah.
On the last review. I'm like, why are we not seeing for sure if it went off of Mann or Ayton? We didn't get any review. Yeah. I mean, we got a review, but we didn't see any replays from ESPN. It's like, you've gone and give us did they get worn out from all the reviews from all the other replays?
I don't know.
They didn't give us anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, I thought with the naked eye, that ball was off of Ayton. But I don't have anything to back it up because ESPN didn't provide anything.
Yeah.
So they dropped the ball on that. So the ball goes out of bounds. There's 0.9 seconds left. Clippers have a 1-point lead. And yes, if Paul George makes 1 out of 2, they're up 2. If he makes both, they're up 3. Okay, you can point to that. I get it. Paul George is a star player. He needs to at least make 1 out of 2, if not both. I get all that. Okay, I do. At the same time, there were guys that missed free throws earlier in the game for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. But we always focus on the very last thing. So, okay, I get that. 0.9 seconds left, my oldest son and my youngest son and I are sitting down in the basement watching the game, and we immediately say, you lob it to Ayton. 100%. It was a no-brainer. You lob it to Ayton. And we watched the play set up where Ayton was, and I told my son, I said, he's going to spin down the free throw lane. He's going to make a half circle, and he's going to spin, and Booker's going to set a back screen. That's what I called before the play. We can record me before. It's true. I said that. And it's not like I'm a rocket scientist to figure it out either.
No.
So what did the Clippers do? So Clipper fans today are upset because George missed free throws. That's one thing. But they're probably just as upset, if not more, with their defense on the last play. Like, how do you allow an alley-oop dunk with 0.9 seconds left to lose the game? And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what else the Clippers could have truly done. I'll give you an example of something two players could have done better, but I don't know what Ty Lue could have done any better. I think he had the right, man, I don't know if he had the right personnel. I didn't like when Cousins came in the game, the guard, the inbounder, and that was not after the fact. I understood the size part. That guy's had multiple knee injuries. He can't jump. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you where the game might have been lost was that substitution.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give that to you in a moment because nobody was talking about that during the broadcast at the end, which there was a lot going on with Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy, who's awesome, by the way, and Mike Breen. They did a wonderful job. And so they're focused on the great pass by Crowder and the great dunk and then the great screen. But I'll tell you something that's lost in the equation last night here in a moment. So PG3 isn't the reason they lost the game, okay? He didn't have a great night, but when it was crunch time, he came through until the free throws, all right? The turnover on Booker, as Jeff Van Gundy accurately pointed out, you never look at that any other time during the game, so that should have still been Suns' ball. And I agree with him. Mm-hmm. Okay, we mentioned the missed free throws. We mentioned the missed three-pointer. And we mentioned ESPN didn't give us any looks at the replay to see what happened. Ayton with the alley-oop. First of all, the play design by Monty Williams came during a stoppage in play to review when the ball went out of bounds with 9/10 left on the missed three-pointer by Bridges. That gives both teams a free timeout. Mm-hmm. And I hate that about replay. I don't know how you stop it. Because you can't. I mean, you'd have to have more officials to stop it.
You guys can't get together right now.
Well, you would have to have security come out and say, okay, you players stay on the other far sideline. You can still yell something. You can still communicate and do something. But you wouldn't have a dry erase board and draw it all up. But you're not going to prevent it. So I'm okay with it. Both teams have the advantage of setting up the defense and setting up their offense. So I don't have as big a problem with that situation last night as I do in other situations, because that allowed the Clippers more time to figure out what they want to do defensively, just as much as it helped the Suns to figure out a play, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree
with that? They both have an extra timeout.
Right. It's not like one team's getting the advantage and the other isn't. But typically, the offense usually has an advantage because your defense, you're trying to figure out what all they're going to run, and the offense knows the one play they're going to run. That's usually the case in all sports. So, awesome play design during what wasn't actually a timeout but ended up being a timeout because of replay review. Terrific, and I'm going to say this and let me stress it again, terrific moving screen by Devin Booker. That was an illegal screen. I'm sorry. It is in basketball. DeAndre Ayton grabbed Bubac's jersey and pulled Bubac towards him and then shoved him back. That's not a foul. And I'm going to say this again. I enjoy watching the NBA, and I know the game is really hard to officiate. But I have seen this now. I saw it in Game 7 between the Bucks and the Nets where guys are grabbing each other's jerseys with not one hand but two hands and holding them, which would be a hold in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. And there's no foul called. But then a guy gets hugged by another guy, and he slaps the guy's hand away, and he gets called for a foul. Or a handshake is called a foul. And it's just ridiculous. There's no consistency to it, I guess, other than I guess you can grab and pull whatever you want to do. And so, first of all, the Suns got away with illegal play after play on the play. I mean, they got away with illegal activity on multiple fronts. First of all, and I'm a Suns fan, and I'm glad they won. But Ayton got away with grabbing Bubac's jersey and shoving him back. Booker had a moving screen. All right, he wasn't set. So there's two things. And then the pass was perfect by Crowder. And it is not, by the way, and this is Jeff Van Gundy knowing the rules, and I knew it as well, and
Mark
I'm sure
Jackson
you did
said
as well.
It right away, too. Like, he was the first one that said it. I think it was Mark Jackson.
Yeah, him and Van Gundy are all over it. There's no offensive goaltending on inbounds plays. There is not. I mean, Bubac, everybody, I saw Clipper fans complaining about, you know, interference and Ayton. Bubac actually grabbed the rim. His hand hit the rim. That was and in the net. Bubac actually could have been called for basket interference, but like the Clipper fans, he wasn't. Because there is no offensive goaltending or interference on an out-of-bounds play like that. There isn't. So the both teams know the rule. And here, by the way, I was talking about how Ayton, you're going to lob it to him. The Clippers knew it, too. Here's the crazy thing about this play. The Clippers knew it, too. They knew, for the most part, that was coming. They had 2 7-footers in the game to defend DeAndre Ayton. Mm. One on the inbounder, Cousins, to prevent a pass to Ayton. And Cousins is a 7-footer against Jay Crowder, who's about 6'8". And then you got Bubach, who's defending Ayton. And Bubach is 6'11", 7 foot, but Ayton's more athletic and jump higher. Mm-hmm. So you got two bigs in the game because you're worried about an alley-oop. You are. You're worried about the oop. So let's not sit here and act like the Clippers didn't know what was coming. They were ready for it. But here's my point as to sometimes it's okay to just say, my Lord, the other team had perfect execution. Mm-hmm. It was perfect execution. Booker bumped Bubach perfectly. Ayton jumped perfectly. The pass by Crowder is, to me, the best part of the whole play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how he didn't hit the backboard is insane. He put it perfect. I mean, absolutely perfect. So there were so many amazing things that happened. But I'm going to tell you something that wasn't really talked about, but is being talked about a little bit today. And I don't blame Ty Lue for the substitution, per se, with DeMarcus Cousins coming in to guard the inbounder. But here's my problem, and this is fundamentals 101, that we have taught kids in traveling basketball when they were in fourth and fifth grade. You protect the rim. You protect the middle of the floor. If you go back and watch this play, DeMarcus Cousins, first of all, doesn't even jump to cause any problems anyway. Two, he should be shaded at an angle to make that pass that Crowder made hard to make. Now, if Cousins isn't jumping or keeps his hands down, he'll still make the pass. Don't get me wrong. But Cousins defended it like they're worried about the three-point shot.
They didn't want to get it in the corner.
Yeah. And that's which would you rather give up, a 23-foot corner three or an alley-oop slam dunk? And Cousins' defense on the out-of-bounds play, first of all, I don't think he was ready to go in the game.
Well, no, he wasn't.
And so he didn't even know what the heck he was doing.
No.
And he's a veteran, though. I mean, that was a major tactical mistake with Cousins not defending the right way on out-of-bounds play. And this is why games are decided by inches, and games are decided by little super, super minute details. I'm telling you right now, if DeMarcus Cousins defends that play the right way on out-of-bounds, I don't think Crowder makes as good of a pass. Now, Ayton may come up with an unbelievable jam because I saw plays earlier where the passes looked way off and he somehow was able to catch and jam them. So I'm not saying the play still wouldn't have worked. I'm saying the play wouldn't have been as clean. And that's something that's been overlooked a little bit. A lot of blame on George, blame on the Clippers for not having the right personnel, which maybe that's part of it with Cousins being in there. But Cousins needs to know how to guard an inbound pass, doesn't he? I was amazed by that. And that's why when you're on the bench, you always got to be glued into the game because you never know when you're going to go in. It's called focus. And one guy losing just a tiny bit of focus can cost you a chance at a championship. It is that minute. It is super razor thin, the difference between winning and losing. And that play last night was awesome play design, but it was even better execution because Ayton did everything he was supposed to do. Booker did his job. Bridges went where he was supposed to go on the floor as a decoy. Cam Johnson was a decoy. And it was spacing on the floor to run the play. And then Crowder with a sensational out-of-bounds pass with a really tough angle. And they knew the rules as well, knowing that, hey, there's no basket interference. There is no goaltending because it's an out-of-bounds play. So the Suns knew all the rules. Clippers did too. But let me tell you another fine detail. The Suns, every player on that team on that play ran it right. If one of those five guys goes in the wrong direction, that play will fail. And that's why it's called a team sport. That's why it's called a team sport. If you go back and you watch the Suns Clippers game one, the Clippers were within two, and the Clippers had a major defensive breakdown, and Devin Booker got a wide open dunk on an out of bounds play after a timeout on the side. It's like, how does that happen? He's their best player. It's because the Clippers, one of their players, either wasn't focused, didn't communicate soon enough, and they made a gigantic mistake. And it only takes is one guy to fall asleep or lose focus for a nanosecond before the difference between winning and losing. And yes, you can say a couple free throws. You can put it all together. It's all part of it. But once again, you know, Ben Simmons didn't lose the game for the Sixers the other night. It was a team effort, and they blew game five up 26. Paul George did not lose this game yesterday for the Clippers. And I don't think Ty Lue lost this game for the Clippers. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to say it. I believe the Suns won the game on a tremendous play that was perfectly executed, and a little tiny detail may have prevented the Clippers from defending that play better, and perhaps the officials with the old, we're not going to call anything in the final seconds after calling it throughout the game. I could see if you're a Clipper fan complaining about grabbing of a jersey, which is illegal, by the way, and also a moving screen, I can see and understand those complaints. But usually, they're going to swallow the whistle on a play like that. Mm-hmm. But it was perfectly executed. It was a tremendous play. Now, let me get to this next part before we get to the local sports. What about replay itself in the NBA? Because last night, let me re-stress this again, if you're just tuning in. The final 9 seconds took 19 minutes to play. The final 90 seconds took 33 minutes to play. There were 5 reviews in the final 2 minutes, and there were 5 field goal attempts. There were as many reviews as there were field goal attempts in the final 90 seconds. And I saw Scott Van Pelt after with ESPN with Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. I don't know if you watched that.
I saw that first part.
Yeah, and Scott Van Pelt says, listen, I understand people don't like reviews, but isn't the job is to get it right? And didn't they get it right on all of these? And I would agree, they did. I thought they got them all right. By the letter of the rule, they got them all right. And that's what's irritating about baseball. You can go and look and still see they got it wrong, even after replay. That's just crazy. But the NBA usually gets it right when they do review stuff. I think their replay system is probably better than Major League Baseball's. What a shocker. Baseball's always behind the times. But it takes so long. And I agree with Jeff Van Gundy. There is no flow. It ruins the flow. It ruins the momentum. But I will say this last night, and I might be in the minority on this because I didn't like all the reviews. I get tired of going to review every single time. I get tired of the players immediately wanting a review every single play under 2 minutes. I get tired of that too. But I will say, in a weird way, last night, the reviews and the replays, that didn't make me stop watching at all.
There was only one point where I wanted to stop, and that was after the dunk, right?
Yeah.
Because that was insane how long that took
to
get everything
sorted. But I understand why it would take a while. Everybody come on the court thought the game was over.
Yeah.
Okay, you got guys shoving each other. You got to get everybody cleared off the court. And then you got to go to the monitor, and you got to rely on people that are sitting behind the desk there to tell you, as an official, what 10 guys are on the floor. And you got to make darn sure you get that right. Because if you get that wrong, one of these teams is going to protest the game in the ending, no matter what.
Yeah.
So I understood why it took so long, because that is not a normal situation.
My point on that, though, is the Clippers players knew if they were on the floor or not. Just go out there.
Right. But
what are we waiting for? That was my part of that. I had to review time, and then it's like, no, you can't do anything in less than 0.3 seconds, and they only took 0.2 seconds off the clock.
Yeah.
That's what they were reviewing all of that.
Sure, right.
But I'm just like, Ty Lue knew who he had on the floor, and the Clippers players knew who was on the floor. Let's move this along.
True, but I will disagree with you to an extent, because Ty Lue's not doing his job, Dusty, because there's still a chance for the Clippers to win the game. I mean, they want to win this game so badly. There's 0.7 of a second on the clock, and whether it should have been 6 or 7 is minute. It's a dumb detail, and here's why. You can catch and shoot with 0.3 or more. You're not going to be able to make a pass between 0.3 and 0.7. So it doesn't really matter if it's 0.6 or 0.7. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's really silly.
That's what I'm saying is, why did it take so long to get to that?
Right.
But
0.3 and 0.2, that's the big difference.
Yeah.
And I still say to this day, there's no way you can catch and shoot in 0.3 of a second.
No.
I think that's a dumb rule too. So the Clippers have 0.7 of a second left. They have to throw the ball the length of the floor to try to get a shot, or throw it to midcourt, get a half-court heave. And you sit here and you say, well, Ty Lue knows who was out there. The players know. Absolutely. You're right. They absolutely know who's supposed to be out there. They totally know who's supposed to be out there. But if I'm Ty Lue, I don't want 2 7-footers. I've never practiced a last-second play the length of the floor with Bubac and Cousins on the floor.
Yeah,
if I can sneak Reggie Jackson in there like he tried to do as an inbounder and the officials don't catch it, why am I supposed to do the job for the officials? My job is to win the game. And if you sit here and say, well, the Clippers knew and they should have moved it along and they knew who was on the floor and those players should have just went out there, well, then you should say the same thing when the wrong guy knows he shouldn't be shooting free throws but goes to the foul line.
Yeah.
All right? Or, it's not even gamesmanship. It's coaches knowing they're cheating. They are.
Well, obvious.
But your job is a coach is to try to win at any cost.
I don't understand what
right,
Ty Lue was trying to
do. But you're saying to speed it up.
Once they have it figured out that they cannot sub right now.
Right, but they already had put somebody out there.
Yeah.
They already put Reggie Jackson out there, but Toon was off the court. The Clippers' job isn't to speed up the game. Ty Lue's job is not to speed up the game. Dusty, it is not his job, nor is it the Clippers' job to speed up the game. the job is the official's job to speed up the game.
Yeah.
So don't sit here and tell me that the Clippers knew and they should have been out there to hurry this game up. No, no, no. The Clippers have a chance to still win the game. And if there's any way you can get Cousins to get off the court and give you an advantage, even though you know he shouldn't be off the court, you do it.
Well, and I don't disagree with that. But once they know that they're not allowed to sub, the officials are probably going to get that right, right? They're not going to let you go out there and play the game like this.
The key word you just said was probably.
Yeah, and
officials
and
have so missed this up before.
But
they've had wrong guys on the court.
But what you just said is, like, there's going to be contesting. If the Clippers make a shot, like, what did you gain? Because the Suns are going to be like, well, he shouldn't even been on the floor.
Well,
anyway.
What do you gain? If he makes a shot, the Clippers have the series tied at 1-1. You think the Suns are going to protest after the game and they're going to change the result of the game?
I don't know. They
no,
could.
They're not.
I don't know.
Do you really, truly believe they're going to change
you get out there right away. I mean,
come on. There'll be a reprimand. You slap a deal on the officials. They messed up. Da, da, da. That would be unprecedented. Unprecedented.
Yeah, I mean, it might be, but I'm just like, they know who can and can't be out there.
No,
that's
I agree.
What I'm saying.
I agree.
At the end of the game.
Listen,
by the time
I agree with
by
you.
By the time they've done all of this,
sure.
Right? Because I'm pretty sure they knew for at least two and a half minutes that
sure
Reggie Jackson was not going to be on the floor.
Sure they did.
And he's going to get pulled off because they know something's wrong here.
Right. But they're hoping the officials miss
yeah.
it. So
and
I understand
didn't.
It. I understand it.
And listen, when I say what I said, I understand why Ty Lue tried
right.
to do what
sure.
he did. I'm not dumb.
Right.
But it's just like,
right.
move it along because you know Reggie Jackson's not going to be on the floor for this
and
play.
And sometimes what happens with officials, and they're human, when you have mass confusion or a lot of things that have to sort out, you can easily miss a detail. Just think of your everyday life. If you got a ton of things on your mind and
well,
lots
sure.
of things you got to do, something can fall through the cracks. And that's what the Clippers and Ty Lue were hoping for there was something falls
yeah.
through the cracks
no
to where
doubt.
Reggie Jackson can throw the ball in instead of Nicholas Batum.
Yeah.
Or I can get Bubach or Cousins off the floor. So,
well, and he was trying to get one of those guys off, too.
Well,
like, Cousins
well,
was not on the floor originally
right.
either. And
well,
then
I would
he went
too.
Back out because they thought that maybe
right.
they could sneak this guy
right.
past. And,
sure. And by the way, the Suns would have done the same thing if the roles were reversed. I guarantee you.
Well, yeah.
In fact, they might have been doing it defensively when we weren't paying attention to it
mm-hmm.
last night. Every team would do the same thing. So, I get your point. I totally agree with you. Yes, they did know.
When you said there wasn't any replays.
It's not their job to hurry the game up. It's
not the Clippers'
job to help the officials sort it out. The officials paid good money to get it right.
Yeah.
They got all kinds of monitors to replay and rewind. It's not the Clippers' job. You may say, well, that'd be the nice, convenient thing for them to do. Right, true. But you got coaches that get hired and fired on losing games like last night. Do you really think you're not going to try everything in the book to win the game, even though you know that those five guys should have been out there? Of course not.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with any
yeah.
of that. You had made the point where all the replays, I didn't want to stop watching the game, so
yeah,
that's why I
right.
brought that one
that's
up.
When you,
I did
right.
want to stop watching
you
the
wanted
game.
To stop, you wanted to stop watching
point,
the game at
there
that
was
point.
9/10 of a second left.
Or 7/10.
Well, there was 9 on the inbound, and then they're
right.
trying to figure out what's left after that all happens after the dunk.
Right.
And
then
so
they figured out who was
put?
On the
there
floor.
Was there was no time left originally. They
right.
run it all out, and then they're talking about we're going to probably put 2 to 3/10 of a second up, and then they put 7/10.
Which I don't know how that's possible. But.
And all of that's going on, and then now we got to figure out who's on the court, and we got to tell these people to get off the court. That's the point where I wanted to stop watching. Like,
yeah.
I was
sure.
done with it. I didn't feel like the Clippers were probably going to make a shot anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, as a wrap for me, I
okay.
was just ready to
so,
give it up.
So, but here's my point, and I think we agree, it's just in different terms. So, but here's the point I want to make, is that, let me go back over the numbers again. The last 9.2 seconds took 19 minutes to play. The last 90 seconds took 33 minutes to play. You just said, your own words, that it was the last couple of minutes where you're ready to check out when they were trying to review all this. So you were okay with watching 8.5 seconds that took 17 minutes to play.
Well,
you were okay with it. If
yeah.
you kept watching, you were okay with it. Let's sit here and...
Okay with it taking that long.
Something needs to be fixed
on the time
right.
of doing things.
I hear you, but it did. My point is it didn't make you stop watching.
No.
So when I hear people, and this is my point, it's where I'm going with this. When I hear people say, well, it's just unwatchable because all the replays and reviews and blah, 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 you just admitted that you didn't turn the channel. I didn't turn the channel. And it wasn't as big a deal to me at the end as it was for you because I got used to all the replays anyway. And I like strategy as
well,
I watch as a
go
fan.
To bed. Let's full disclosure.
I had to get up earlier than you, and I wanted to go to bed, too.
I'm still out here an hour after the game's over.
Sure,
so.
right. But I'm watching it, and I'm sitting here saying, that didn't stop me from watching, because you've watched the game to that point. Why are you going to stop watching? Because you're going to get all riled up because of a few reviews, and yeah, I know it was five of them. You're gonna stop there. That's where you're gonna draw the line. So you're gonna deprive yourself of watching the alley-oop slam dunk. You would have missed that. Had you been fed up with all the replays and you said, "Woohoo! I'm gonna change the channel because I'm tired of waiting," you would have missed that play when it happened live. And it is different than watching replays. It's great to watch it live and that crowd to go nuts. So my point of the story is, people come out today and say replay's bad and takes too long and it makes it hard to watch and it ruins the flow of the game. And I get all that, but did you stop watching? That's the ultimate question that all these pro sports leagues have to ask. If you want major changes in replay, there are going to be no major changes in replay unless the players, the coaches, and organizations demand it, or the fans quit watching. And the fans did not quit watching last night. I didn't. You didn't. Most people didn't. Because you already invested that time, whether you started watching in the fourth quarter like I did, whether you started watching from the very beginning of the game, halftime, or the middle of the fourth quarter, it doesn't matter. You've invested time. And when you invest time in watching an event, whether it's a concert, whether it's a baseball game, a football game, a sporting event, it does not matter. When you invest the time, for instance, you come over for a fireworks display on July the 3rd here at Wakanda Lake, and they're delayed by half an hour. Odds are you're going to wait it out. You know why? You might not be happy about it, but you're going to wait it out because you already made your plans. You already invested your time. You drove over here. You're going to want to stay for the fireworks show. Mm-hmm. There might be some odd person that might, and I don't mean that in any disrespect, an odd person that may say, oh, that's it. I'm fed up. I'm going to go home because I don't want to wait on this. But you've invested the time. So why would you deprive yourself of the great reward at the end of it? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think hardly anybody was taking their eyes off the game. They took eyes off the screen, but they weren't changing the channel last night. And so if people want to sit here and tell me that replay has to be changed and it's ruining the game and it takes too long and so forth and so on, I'm going to sit here and use this as evidence exhibit A. Then why didn't everybody tune out last night? They didn't. People went through 33 minutes to watch 90 seconds. I did. You did. I took 19 minutes to watch the final 9.2. And I can complain about the five reviews. I can complain about the last review you're talking about. I can complain about any of the reviews. I can say it's way over the board, over the top. But it didn't stop me from watching. And if it doesn't stop fans from watching, and that's a big part, obviously, fans attending games and paying money for tickets and TV ratings, which is a big reason and the biggest money you get, obviously TV revenue and even streaming too. If the fans can complain, but they don't actually, they can talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. It's kind of like baseball after the strike. I ain't going back to baseball games. Well, you can say it, but if you all went back and watched, you didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Now, if you quit going, then all of a sudden baseball's like, we got to change something, which they might eventually do. Games take too long, blah, 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 and are too boring and too many strikeouts, which they're trying to do, actually, which we'll get to in a little bit. Now, I think if this happens on a regular basis, clearly that's going to make people tune out. I do believe that. And if it's a regular season game, it's going to make you probably tune out somewhat. But the fact that it was a playoff game, highly competitive, and so forth and so on, I think that keeps you invested because you spent the time. You want to see the ending. You want to see the finale, all right? You don't go to a movie and watch it for 2.5 hours, and the last 2 minutes, you're like, you know what? I've waited too long to watch the ending of this movie. I'm just going to walk out of here. You don't do that. Why don't you do that? Because you've invested the time all that way. You wanted to see some conclusion. And that's why you keep watching, despite the fact that you only had 9 seconds of actual action in the last 19 minutes of real lifetime. Do you see my point on that?
Because I know that the movie's 2.5 going into it.
Well,
what if the movie?
Okay, let me stop. I'll amend that because I was thinking about that. Yeah. If the projector stops.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm sorry, folks, we got a problem with our projector. We should have it fixed in 15, 20, 30 minutes. Odds are most people who already paid are going to still stick around.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
There you go.
I know.
I thought about that when I said it. I thought somebody.
I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. I had blocked off 2.5 hours of my time to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And plus the previews, you understand it would be 15, 20 minutes probably ahead of time.
What if it was mislisted and you thought it was 2 hours or it's hour 40 and it was actually 2:40?
Well, then you probably...
You're still going to stay.
You're going to stick around.
Yeah, even though you anticipated.
It's longer than I thought it was supposed to be. Right. What time is it?
Right, but you're like, I paid money. I got my popcorn. I'm going to enjoy it. So I get your points totally. But I'm playing the devil's advocate here. I don't like all the replays either. I'm with Scott Van Pelt. I like them to get it right. I don't think it should take that long to get it right. And that's what I've always said about replay. There should be a cap on it. There should be a timer. Somebody should say, listen, we're not going to spend more than 60 seconds. That's what I keep saying, 60 seconds. From the time I look at the monitor to making a decision, 60 seconds. And if you can't make a decision within 60 seconds, then it's not conclusive enough. That's how I feel about it. I think replay does need to be sped up. But I'm playing devil's advocate. Did it cause people to quit watching that game because there was hardly any action and there was tons of reviews? The answer is no.
And that you're 100% accurate on that part of it, for sure. But there's also what I was saying is there is some gray area there, too.
Oh, sure.
I watched it, but I was not okay with it.
Sure.
Like, I'm
sure.
not.
Right.
It does not sit well with a whole lot of people
right.
to have to take 33 minutes
right.
to finish whatever the last 90 seconds and then 19 minutes to finish 9 seconds.
But isn't that the same thing almost, though? If somebody's listening to a radio station and they say, you know, I can't stand this part of your day or whatever else, but then they still listen. It's like, well, then you're still listening. So what's the big deal? I mean, you complain about it, but if you don't do anything about it, then
yeah.
what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, I get where you come from on yeah. that too.
You know, I mean, you didn't, you hated it or disliked it so much that you didn't turn the channel.
Yeah.
Well, so to me, it's not that bad as yeah, you say it is.
The payoff is,
you know?
Is what you're there for.
Well,
you
sure.
want to see how it ends.
That's the key.
But it's, man, it's a lot of
no, I got
in-between
you.
Stuff. And I'm like you said, that's not that doesn't happen every game.
No, it doesn't.
But I think if you do have a lot of that, then it will
oh,
it
I
will
agree.
Become an issue.
I,
you
totally.
Look at baseball and things yes. have become issues.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
you know, I mean, you got to – I feel like you got to expedite the replay process in every sport.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. Just playing the devil's advocate
yeah.
because of the game and the high stakes. I think it actually added even more drama to it in a weird way. It really did.
Yeah.
But
this is a regular season
I don't think that works
even if
as well.
Even if it's a game that might decide a division championship,
it's,
I probably would have turned the channel. Like, I probably wouldn't watch that.
I probably still would, but if it's just a regular season game and it doesn't mean a lot, then I won't.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
yeah. Well, I think a division title means
even,
something.
I mean, like the last game, maybe I wouldn't, but I mean, if they're jockeying for position and there's two
yeah.
really good teams, the
yeah.
Suns and Clippers are playing a regular season game,
yeah.
I'm probably turning the channel.
You might be, yeah. I think I probably still
would. I would watch on Twitter how it finished because in the end, it's a one-game thing that means something on the record and not – for a championship.
I ain't going to lie. If I've already invested so much time watching it, I still want the payoff. Whether,
well,
whether it's a game
too,
that means much or not.
I'm probably not
going
to spend that much time watching it either if it's a regular season game that my team's not playing in.
True,
so.
True. It's interesting. Chris Paul back for game three. They believe he'll be back for game three. That's why the Clippers was a missed opportunity last night because the Suns should get stronger. But here's the thing. Watch the Suns get Paul back and they lose game three. That's just the way it probably will go.
It's been the way things have been going.
Yeah, absolutely. Hawks and Bucks, they got tonight game one, 7:30 on TNT. I've got the Bucks in six. I am tempted to say five, but I'm saying six. Is that what you said?
I think I said six, too. Yeah,
yeah, so the Bucks Hawks tonight, that should be interesting. Giannis versus Trey, and once again, role players will be big in this series. The NBA draft lottery is last night. Pistons get the number one pick. They won the ping pong ball thing, and they've already said, according to all reports, Cade Cunningham is going to go to Detroit. Cade Cunningham said he's only going to visit one team. Well, I think it's pretty obvious mm-hmm. that he's going to be the number one overall pick. Jalen Suggs probably be the second pick, and that would be Houston as a second pick. And then Evan Mobley, who, of course, ripped up KU in the NCAA tournament, would be the third pick, and they believe he'd go to the Cavaliers. But who knows? Maybe mm-hmm. maybe the Rockets will take Mobley instead of Suggs. I don't know. I'd go in that order. I would go – those are three I would do. I'd have Cunningham. I don't know. Suggs and Cunningham, I like both a lot. I really like Suggs. I could see either one of those going one, but it won't be that way. Cunningham, Suggs, and Mobley, that seems like the right order for the top three. And the Warriors got the 7th, the 14th pick, and the Thunder. I thought they had all the picks, but they just got the – they get the 5th or 6th pick. They get the 6th mm-hmm. pick. But in the next few drafts, it'll be all Thunder all the time. So
yeah, they're stockpiled for sure.
That's for sure. All right, local sports, we got some baseball recognitions.
Yeah, and you can find all these posted at ncksports.com. Sports in Kansas has released their all-state baseball teams and softball teams as well. Baseball 3A, Spencer Davidson of Minneapolis was named the co-player of the year in Class 3A. Along with Brooks Whaley of Rock Creek, Davidson, as part of that, was also a first-team pitcher in Class 3A. Trent Meckle of Minneapolis, first-team utility. And then on the second team, Dayton Davis of Ellsworth, a pitcher there in Class 3A. Freshman Maddox Waters of Beloit was an honorable mention selection. Also, Ryker Nelson of Minneapolis. Evan Nicholson, Jackson Gebhardt, Bryant Banks, Landon Allen, and Dayton Mathis of Southeast also on the honorable mention squad. And Sacred Heart's Jacob Gormley, an honorable mention pick in 2-1A. Sports and Kansas All-State softball, Chloe Odell, Class 3A, 4 Beloit, was a second-team pitcher. And then in 4A, honorable mention, Hannah Akery from Concordia was on that team as well. Again, you can find all of those linked at ncksports.com for all the local athletes that are on those lists from our area leagues. So check it out.
All right. Congratulations on all those accolades. The Royals were in the Bronx to take on the Yankees last night, and the Royals get the W, believe it or not. When the Royals win in New York, I just sit here and go, wow.
Dozier again started to run, and that's back through the middle. Dyson scores, and the Royals have four in the eighth inning.
Four in the eighth, and then the Royals, like I've seen many times over the years, no lead is safe in what's the bandbox that Yankee Stadium is, where you can hit a pop-up and it goes out. The Royals knocked in four runs off of Yankees reliever Jonathan Yosiga after managing just three hits and two runs in seven innings against Yankees ace Gerrit Cole. Of course, the big inning came there in the eighth with four runs, and then the Yankees stormed back against Kyle Zimmer in the bottom of the eighth. The Royals went through their entire order in the eighth inning. Whit Merrifield a single, Carlos Santana a double. Merrifield tied the game on Rowan Ahern's infield chopper. Ahern had a homer earlier in the game. He was just called up as Mondesi. Yes, that's right, Mondesi on the IL again for the third time. Ahern's been tearing it up at AAA, and that translated to the big house last night in Major League Baseball. And then the Royals, of course, got a great slide from Santana there in the eighth inning to score the run. And then, of course, insurance, and they needed it. Hunter Dozier, Michael Taylor, as you just heard, with the RBI hits. And Brady Singer loaded the bases in the fourth inning with three consecutive walks. Matheny then called on Chris Bubich to get the final out of the inning. That kept the score tied at two. And then Greg Holland was able to eventually close the game for the Royals as they end up winning the ballgame by a final of 6-5. And Ahern with two hits and Michael Taylor two hits led the offense for the boys in blue. And Singer only goes 3 2/3, but Bubich did a nice job, retired all seven batters he faced there at Yankee Stadium, which is not easy. And Jacob Brintz, despite giving up a run, he gets the win. Zimmer gets a hold despite giving up two runs. And Barlow gets a hold, and then Holland got his fifth save as the Royals do get the win. Now, good news, Danny Duffy is back. Danny Duffy is going to pitch tonight for the Royals. 6-5, game two, a three-game set in New York against the Yankees. Here's Mike Matheny on their big four-run eighth.
Guys just working to make something happen. We talked about this before. You know, put the ball in play, put pressure on the defense, use the middle of the field, and hand it to the next guy so he can do his job. And thought, had a couple really good approaches right there where guys weren't trying to do too much. And then, some good base running, had a little bit of everything. But that was a big inning.
So the Royals win their 33-38 game two tonight in that series. And once again, Duffy back on the hill off the IL. That's good news. And hopefully he can stay off the IL for the rest of the season. So I'll tell you about a wild and wacky day yesterday or night with when it comes to sports. Of course, we talk about all the reviews and how long it took forever to finish the Suns-Clippers games last night. But did you see the Max Scherzer about lose his mind last mm-hmm. night? And I don't blame him once,
not
iota. Joe Girardi of the Phillies last night said that Scherzer wiped his hair and thus he had a suspicion of something. And if you don't know, let's give you a little background. The Major League Baseball, I'm getting to the point where Major League Baseball is a complete and utter joke. And I'm telling you, fans, like I'm a baseball fan. I really enjoy baseball and I enjoy going to games at any level. I like a day at the ballpark. I'm craving to go to a Royals game, and I hopefully will and be able to take my kids here soon this summer. I haven't watched hardly any Royals baseball this year because I'm not able to get it with what I do with my TV package. And so I try to follow it with highlights and summaries and box scores and this and that. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not exactly losing sleep because I haven't watched every Royals game this year. And I love the Royals. I follow them. I want them to win and everything else. But I'm going to tell you something, and I'll say this too. I used to watch NBA games from start to finish. Do you know what I do with NBA playoff games now? I usually tune in somewhere late in the third quarter because of my schedule. I come in, it gets dark, I play with the kids outside, I come in, and guess what? I don't feel like I missed anything. Mm-hmm. And so I watch the most important part of the game, which is the fourth quarter typically, and I see the drama last night. And I do that with a lot of sporting events now because we were talking about the not a lack of focus, but it's that people and younger people, and I think even your age and my age are getting to this point where it's like, you know what? I've got other things I could be doing. I don't have to be glued for a 3.5-hour baseball game. I don't have to watch, you know, I'll do this. I've got the NFL games on the DVR. I can fast forward and I can go back and watch a Chiefs game an hour and a half and play with my kids and not have to watch it live. Mm-hmm. I just don't check my phone so people don't ruin it and tell me if the Chiefs won or not. And I can still watch the whole Chiefs game, but I can watch it in a shorter period of time. And so I'm more efficient. I'm able to do more things. I'm not just glued to a TV sitting through tons of breaks and long reviews all the time. Yeah. And so baseball is just, you know, it's slow. I mean, Major League Baseball is slower than any of the levels of baseball. It's slow. It is boring many times. We talk about the high strikeout rates. But then baseball is always reactive instead of proactive. And, of course, they've now, because of the high strikeout rates and they're worried about fans being fed up or not watching as much and this and that and whatever else. And so then they have a knee-jerk reaction. They implement a rule where if a manager requests it or if the umpire wants, they can check on the pitchers whenever they want, by the way. It's one time an inning. You can do it every inning, from what I understand. You don't have to do it once in the game because they can go dugout and find a substance and put it in their hat or on the ball in their hands or whatever. And this is called gamesmanship. This is where managers are going to mess with pitchers' minds. Brady Singer was checked last night. Even when guys are struggling, they're still checking them. And it's going to be – it's a horrible rule. Baseball was a knee-jerk reaction, and we've already seen in a very, very, very short period of time how it is being accepted by pitchers. And it was not good last night. Joe, and somewhat comical, and baseball is becoming a laughingstock because of dumb things like this. Maybe that helps people watch because they see pitchers pull their pants down in the middle of the diamond. I don't know. But last night, if you don't know what happened, Joe Girardi, Max Scherzer is a great pitcher. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's unbelievable. He's a great pitcher. And Max Scherzer is pitching last night against the Phillies for the Nationals, and he wiped his hair with his arm or whatever, hand. Pitchers do it all the time. You keep sweat out of your eyes. Trust me, they do it all the time. And other players do too. And so the focus is on foreign sticky substances, so forth and so on. And so now managers can ask for something to be checked, or the umpire can go if he suspects something. And Girardi asked for it last night because Scherzer wiped his hair. And Girardi says after the game, I owe it to my team and blah, 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 and he wiped his hair. And I'm going to say that's complete and utter BS. That is Joe Girardi trying to mess with Max Scherzer and rile him up, which it worked, and so forth and so on. And guys are going to do this. There will be a guy in the middle now. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a guy that's going to have a no-hitter going. You're going to have a guy that has a gym going where he's throwing a shutout. And the manager, now it gives him another weapon to try to ruin things. The weapon before might be bunts, step out of the box, mess up his rhythm. Now you can really mess up the rhythm. You can have a guy come out and accuse you of cheating, and emotionally you're going to be like, dude, I don't cheat. This is a bunch of baloney, and they're thinking or accusing me of cheating. And maybe they're not. They're just doing it as a ploy to get inside your head. And that's what baseball is a lot of mental. I would say it's 80% mental in some cases sometimes. Joe Girardi does this, and Max Scherzer, the umpire comes out, check on him. Max Scherzer doesn't really say much, but he eventually is like, here's my glove. Here's my shirt. He pulls out his shirt. He starts to unbuckle his pants to pull down his trousers.
This was the third time he'd been checked.
The third time he'd been checked in a game, which is ridiculous. And it's over the top, and it's just, it's not good for the game. It might be good initially in regards to people talking about it today, like I am. And then later last night, Sergio Romo, who's a veteran pitcher, was checked as well. And he came over, and he actually did drop his pants. Now, granted, he's not naked, okay? They got underwear or whatever. But he dropped his baseball pants. He unbuckled like Scherzer, except he dropped them. And you're sitting there going, what is Major League Baseball doing? Because the pitchers are obviously against this. The pitchers are mad as hell about it, and they should be because of the things we mentioned before. If you're cheating, yes, you want to get the cheaters. I get that. But you're implementing a brand new rule in the middle of a season. You've not allowed anybody to adapt to it, including the umpires, by the way. It's not fair to the umpires either. And then you're ruling out all the substances, even though there have been substances that have been legal for years. And it's cold turkey. It's just it. All of a sudden, you're like, that's it. You're not being able to do anything with any substance. And now managers who have no reason to think you're cheating can accuse you of cheating. And that's what that is. When they ask the umpire to go check a pitcher, they're saying he's cheating. And that upsets the pitcher because, especially if you know you never have cheated in your life, that ticks you off. And it should. But that's the point of why you have it done. And they can do it more than once, which is really aggravating. And by the way, don't we have a slow enough game as it is now in baseball? So now we got to stop to check pitchers, and then they start taking their clothes off and have to put them back on. This happened two situations last night, and this rule just started here very recently. So who knows what's going to happen the longer this goes? Major League Baseball has so many problems with their sport. And here's one that they just created. They just made a problem they had with all the strikeouts and worried about all these substances making pitchers unhittable. They've just made a problem become a bigger problem and created an additional problem. See, that's the problem with baseball. They don't have good solutions. They have all kinds of problems, but they don't have any freaking clue how to solve their problems. Or if they do, they can't enact what they plan on doing. We're going to speed up the game. We're going to have a pitch clock. Yeah, well, it's great to have a pitch clock, but if nobody abides by it and nothing's enforced, it don't matter. It's like having a speed limit and you don't have any cops that are out and about. People are going to drive. What's the point of a speed limit sign at 65 when there's never a cop on the road? Why wouldn't you go 100 if you want to? It's the same point. It's
the same
analogy.
Point is having a 24-second shot clock in the NBA and just letting it run out and be like, oh, I'm going to shoot it later.
Yeah.
Like, you can still shoot it.
Right.
You're all right.
Yeah. What's the point of a rule if it's not enforced? So they've got these rules that they were like, well, we're going to speed up the game. We're going to do this. We're going to pitch clock. We're going to do this. We're not going to let guys get out and step out of the box four times and redo their gloves like Lorenzo Cain did all the time, which I got sick of that myself. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, dude. Your gloves are on okay. You didn't even swing the bat on the pitch. Yeah. You know, I know it's a routine.
Superstitious ritual routine,
sure.
Whatever you want to call
which
it.
Which baseball has a lot of that. Yeah. But the Major League Baseball just doubled down on making their game even dumber and slower because it does come across the wrong way. Now, hitters aren't going to complain because, hey, that's going to help them. But this is not right, okay? In baseball, they doubled down and made things worse. And they rushed and reacted quickly to something that they should have just went ahead and said, you know what? Yeah, high strikeout rates. We're going to have to reevaluate everything as soon as the season's over. We'll look at the numbers. We'll change the baseball again if we have to make it more hittable. Whatever the case may be, or we're going to ban substances, or we're going to have specific substances. Let's go ahead and talk to the players' union. Let's break this down. Let's talk about it. Let's get some input from the players. There's a concept. And instead, they just create a rule, and now umpires can do whenever they want. If there's an umpire that doesn't like a pitcher, he can go out and do it anytime he wants. If a pitcher's arguing balls and strikes or not happy and shows up the umpire can show him back up by doing this. And they're all humans, by the way, so that's possible. There are hurt feelings. And now managers can do what they're doing now. And it's just a mockery of the game, complete mockery of the game. And you can sit here and say, well, the intent was good. They're trying to cut down on guys that are cheating. I'm going to repeat this. The Houston Astros didn't have one single player suspended for cheating. And they were found guilty of it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have a World Series stripped, did they? That's why I go back to you mentioned the Clippers. If there's a protest and the Clippers, the wrong guy on the floor, and the Clippers had the game-winning shot and won, would the NBA have changed the ruling and gave the Suns the win? No. No, they wouldn't. They would say, well, we messed up. We did this. We should have handled it better, whatever else. I mean, when you look at Major League Baseball, they didn't take away the World Series trophy for the Astros, did they, Dusty?
No.
No, they didn't take away the ALCS the year before. They just said, "Oh, we're gonna find the GM. We're gonna suspend the GM. The owner didn't even catch much. We're gonna take away a couple of draft picks, whatever that was. And oh yeah, AJ Hinch, you're gone. You're out for a year." None of the players had any consequences other than the fans riding their, you know what? And they lucked out there because of COVID, because then their fans weren't even there last year. So it's not as bad now after you're removed from knowing you cheated. So if you're gonna sit here and tell me, well, baseball's got the right intent, they're trying to stop cheating. You really want to stop cheating, you suspend players from the league when they actually cheat, like the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. You didn't. So you're all about against cheating. Okay, fine. Well, then let's be consistent across the board. And that's another reason why pitchers mock this thing. So baseball is a laughingstock. And I saw you posted something on Twitter like, what the heck are we doing? And I have the exact same question. What are you doing, Major League Baseball? Because you're talking about, we know we got to shorten the games, we need to speed the games up, we got to do this. Now you've enacted a rule that absolutely creates a whole circus in the middle of the game.
Yeah, first of all, whoever put the rule in that they could stop it in the middle of an inning when it's being played.
That's ridiculous.
What goes through your process of thinking to even put that as part of it. Like, I
have
I
him check when, like, he comes off the mound at the end of the inning, and they can still warm up the other team for the next half inning.
When they're headed to the dugout and the manager said, hey, check that guy, I get it, right?
Sure.
I think there should be some kind of punishment for the manager if you do it during the inning while he's pitching to just, like you said, gamesmanship, to break his concentration, to break him on the mound.
Right.
Max Scherzer's not the right guy to tick off, by the
no.
way. I think you probably should pick somebody else, Joe.
I agree.
But because it's not going to rattle Max Scherzer. I mean, Max Scherzer's going to be loud. He's going to do what he wants to do, right? But, and he's going to say what he wants to say. Trevor Bauer, probably the same way. Mm. Probably not the guys you want to make mad and go after with this. Now, and it's just like, I feel somebody made the point, like, you should lose your challenge. And I agree with that. You are 100% challenging that pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be challenging what the call was on the field, but you are challenging that pitcher.
Yes, you are.
And I think that should be part of it. If he doesn't have anything, if there's no substances on him, they deem it and they search him and look at him and make sure he's clean, you should lose your challenge. I 100% agree with that.
It makes sense to me.
I mean, you got to do something to make – because it's just not – baseball is baseball, and it's these things are just annoying. And it's like, you can't just, like, use this now to your advantage and stop play in the middle of it. Somebody, they need to knock that. If they can make this rule right now, they need to take that part of the rule out right now.
Right.
If you can put the rule into effect, just take that part out. It's insane.
Yeah. And the rules allow them to do it. That they are allowed to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so managers and every coach is going to take any loophole they can to get an advantage, just like I talked about with Ty Lue, knowing I know what five are out there, but if the up officials, if I can keep shoving a guy out there and maybe they eventually forget that I put somebody out there, am I cheating? You kind of are. You know you are, but yet you're trying to win, and if it's up to the people that are actually overseeing the game, enforcing the rules, and if they mess up, that's on them. That's what they're paid to do. Kind of the same situation here. I mean, you know, if I'm allowed as a manager to mess with your mind and do it in the middle of the inning, now if I'm not allowed to do it middle inning and I do that, then okay, there's a rule against me doing it until the end of the inning, or I can tell the ump, hey, at the end of the inning, check him when he goes to the dugout. But as long as it's allowed, I don't blame Joe Girardi for doing it from the standpoint of if he thinks that can give him a competitive advantage and it's within the rules, which obviously it is now, then power to him to do it. I don't like it.
It's not his fault that he did it during the
– because he's allowed to.
Allowed to.
Right. So it's baseball's job to clean it up. And that's what happens when you enact a sudden rule. You don't understand the consequences of what other things can come about. And then now you're going to have to make another rule that you're talking about. Well, you take away a challenge if – you challenge and find out the guy doesn't have any substances. And why are we doing middle of the inning? If you challenge middle of the inning, you're automatically ejected or whatever rule you want to make up. It's a Pandora's box is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And baseball, as always, is reactive and behind. But there is a good thing about baseball, the College World Series. Did you see this last night? Mississippi State was no hit through seven innings.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing nothing was happening. They were down to Virginia 4-0. They scored 6 runs in the eighth inning, pretty crazy stuff. They had 6 hits, 2 home runs, and scored 6 in the eighth after they had no hits the first 7 innings. They end up winning the game 6-5. So Mississippi State wins, and Texas won yesterday to stay alive over Tennessee 8-4. Mississippi State in the winner's bracket with the win over Virginia. So tonight it is Vanderbilt Stanford elimination game on ESPN at 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Texas Virginia elimination game on ESPN2. College World Series continues to roll on. It's been pretty fun to watch. Pivotal 5 game on the ice last night in NHL, and the Canadians get it done on the road in Vegas. Tough place to play. Oh, I can't do that because there's some kind of pop-up ad. I love those pop-up ads. Those are really awesome. I really love it. All right, let's try it again.
Short-handed come the Golden Knights. Nice sweep check by Suzuki. Breakaway, Corey Perry. A drop pass. They score! Cole Caulfield! That's a beautiful pass.
So the Canadians win, and they lead the best of 7 at 3-2 over Vegas. So Vegas going to have to win in Montreal to keep that series alive. So a great win. 3-0 was the final. And Tampa Bay and Islanders are back in action tonight for that series. Tampa Bay has a chance to close it. Mm-hmm. And my computer is not bringing up the schedule here for some reason, so I can't tell you exactly what time it is.
I'm pretty sure it's 7:30.
Is it 7:30? And is that one on NBC Sports Network? something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I lost a connection or what happened here on my internet. But anyway, that'll be tonight's Islanders and Lightning with the Islanders.
It's actually a 7.
It's a 7.
7 o'clock.
Islanders trying to stay alive. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, will be with us tomorrow. I'm sure we can talk about replay with him. We're going to talk a little bit about the college football playoff proposal that moved another step forward yesterday with 12 teams in a couple of years, get his input on that, what he thinks about it. And also we will talk to Mark, about the Supreme Court decision 9-0 the other day against the NCAA and in favor of the players and the student athletes and what impact that could have on college sports. So we're going to have talk with the voice of the Buffaloes. We might not talk a lot about Colorado athletics. Sorry, John Bowden. But we may talk a lot about college sports in general and the landscape that we are dealing with. So we look forward to having Mark on. He's always a great guest, and he'll be on tomorrow on the Sports Ticket at 9:30. Cover it?
Covered it.
Every day, I think, we don't have as much to cover, and then there's just crazy stuff that happens. It's a lot better than a year ago when we had nothing going on.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.